You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And Todd, the Phillies starting to look pretty good on the mound. Some great pitching performances as far as the starters go, but we got to start here as we record this on Thursday afternoon talking about some negative news. Story broke just this morning. Daniel Stumpf suspended 80 games for testing positive for a PED. The 25-year-old left-hander hadn't pitched great so far this season, but what kind of a hit is this to this Phillies team at this point in the season?
Well, it is in the sense that he's a Rule 5 draft pick, and they're hoping to get him as much work as possible. Just to kind of get an evaluation from him. Now, you could also look at it from another point of view and say, well, he suspended 80 games. It doesn't count. It doesn't hurt them in terms of his Rule 5 status. And you know sometimes how hard it is to keep a Rule 5 guy on the roster the entire season. But basically, the Phillies don't have to have him on a 25-man roster for the next 80 games. So he's eligible to return July 10th. And then if you look at it even further, you could say, all right, rosters expand September 1st. So if he comes back July 10th, now instead of having to kind of keep him on the roster, you know, 5 months out of the season, they basically only would have to keep him on the roster from July 10th through August 31st. And then, you know, like I said, once rosters expand, it's really kind of a moot point. So not good, obviously. You don't want to have any player get suspended for an anabolic steroid. You know, the Phillies are definitely disappointed. I talked to one of his teammates, James Russell, today. He says he's, you know, everybody's really surprised by it. But, you know, there's still... he could still remain in the organization beyond this year upon his return from his suspension.
It is really an interesting viewpoint to look at it as far as the Rule 5 status, because I know in the past there's been some times with the Rule 5 guys and in some teams, you guys mysteriously end up on the disabled list throughout the season and to be able to stay part of the Major League club. I know none of that is... it's all kind of done, and this is an interesting way to do it because, as you said, the guy would have had to have been on the roster all year long, and now they kind of miss half of that. But like you said, in the long run, overall, this isn't a good story for the Phillies. So let's turn the page and get to some of the good news for this Phillies team, and that is suddenly some great starting pitching. The last two games, a shutout followed by a 2-1 win. Let's start with Wednesday night and Jared Eichhoff. 7 innings. 9 strikeouts, 7 scoreless innings, and from what everything I've heard, the curveball was untouchable.
Yeah, he pitched great last night against the Padres, the other night against the Padres, and this is a guy who the Phillies are really excited about. You know, when they acquired him as part of that Cole Hamels trade, he was basically the number 4 guy in that 5-player deal. The top 3 guys were Jake Thompson, Jorge Alfaro, and Nick Williams. And you know, people said, oh, you know, Eichhoff's pretty good. He's got some potential, maybe a bottom of the rotation type of guy. But he made 8 starts last season for the Phillies. I think his ERA was 2.65. He pitched great and got the coaching staff last season really, really excited. And his teammates last season loved him. I remember one of the best quotes I got all last season was from Jeff Francoeur. He says, I have a huge man crush on Jared Eichhoff, because he's kind of like he's got a bulldog personality on the mound. He works fast. He's aggressive, you know, and players in the field love a guy like that. You know, there's not that 35-second delay in between pitches. He gets the ball, he throws it, and again, he's aggressive. And this start yesterday is a kind of a continuation of that. And even his first start of the season last week against the Mets, he allowed 2 earned runs in 5-plus innings. And that was really some of his first action of the year, because he missed a lot of time early in camp because of a broken right thumb. But really, Jared Eichhoff, make a long story short, the Phillies are really encouraged what they have with him so far, and they are hoping that he could be kind of a surprise acquisition or a surprise piece of this rotation going forward.
Hold on 1 second, Todd. Walter, can you just bring him down a little bit? Just Todd, you still there?
Yeah. He's still there.
Just bring him here.
Down. Okay, we're still going. I was just
okay.
We'll edit that out. But all right. Okay. So great performance from Eichhoff. When you look at this team overall, after being swept by the Reds to open the season, they take 2 of 3 from the Mets, and then 2 of 3 right now, and they're playing obviously right now against the Padres, trying to take 3 of 4 from the Padres. Is there kind of an upbeat, nice vibe going on right now with the Phillies?
There is. You know, there's reasons to kind of be optimistic, and optimistic, and not in the sense that, oh boy, could they make the playoffs or maybe be a surprise wild card team, but optimistic in this sense. Maybe the rebuild can go faster than expected. You know, if this rotation, if Aaron Nola, Jared Eichhoff, and Vince Velasquez are the real deals, and they kind of establish that core in the rotation, and some of these young hitters continue to develop, Adubel Herrera, Mike Franco, people kind of see light at the end of the tunnel right now. And it is, you know, it's just nine games into the season, but there's enough positive things happening where you say, oh, okay, well, some of these prospects, J.P. Crawford comes up and does what he's supposed to do. You know, maybe instead of saying they can contend in 2019, maybe it's as early as next season they kind of challenge for a wild card, or maybe it's 2018.
One move they've made since opening day is the leadoff spot, Todd, and they've gone with Cesar Hernandez instead of Freddie Galvis, who was leading off to start the year. The offense hasn't been explosive by any means, but obviously they've gotten enough runs to win the last few games. Do you like Cesar Hernandez at the top of the order?
I do. I do. I think, quite frankly, he's the really their only option, unless you wanted to put Odubel Herrera up there. But Cesar has, you know, he's got speed, so you can get on base, infield, you know, with infield singles, and just kind of use his speed to get on base that way. He also can work a walk, and so in that sense, he's really the only option they have. And I guess in the past he hasn't been completely comfortable in the leadoff spot, but you know what? Freddie Galvis, if you look at his career numbers, really hasn't shown the ability to get on base much. So I think you've got to go with Cesar. And, you know, quite frankly, he's one of the best hitters on the team. So you want to give those guys the most at-bats over the course of the season. So I like the way the lineup is set up now. You have Cesar hitting first, Odubel Herrera hitting second, Michael Franco hitting third, and then Ryan Howard or Darren Ruff hitting fourth. And then, you know, after that, it's just a mixed bag. You know, you can kind of throw anybody in those last four spots in the lineup. But Cesar, to me, is the guy to go in the top spot.
Todd, Barry Bloom has an article on the website right now or earlier this week about Ryan Howard, and as he's gotten older, obviously now in the twilight of that career, becoming a part-time player with the platoon and everything. And he talks about how it seems like Howard's handling it pretty well. What's your opinion been of that? You know, you deal with Ryan every day. You're in that clubhouse. How has he been late in his career with obviously the team now in a rebuilding mode when he was a part of the glory days?
He's actually taken to it quite well this year. And there really has been a transformation from last year to this year. Last year, I think Ryan was not happy to be here. I think he thought he deserved better. Ryan Sandberg would kind of didn't really communicate with him that much. And I think things have changed. You know, Pete McCann's done a better job communicating with him. In terms of his intentions of playing time, he's basically told him, he's like, listen, when Darren Ruff is healthy, we're going to have a platoon at first base. He hits lefties, you don't. You hit righties, he doesn't. That's the best team we can play on the field. And I think he's accepted that status as a platoon player at first. But I also think that he's kind of taken a step back and said, you know what? This is going to be my last season no matter what with the Phillies. This is it. This is my swan song. I'm going to kind of smell the rose a little bit. I'm going to try to enjoy my last year in Philadelphia. He wants to play beyond the season, but it won't be in Philadelphia. But I think he has kind of gained a sense of peace about it. You know, he's last year, I think he wanted to be somewhere else. He's like, oh my gosh, you know, I another 2 years here. Let me go somewhere else. But now it's just a year to go. I think it's more palatable to him.
This has been MLB.com Extras Phillies Edition. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.